To turn with us to the book of Exodus and also grab Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Exodus and Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to read one verse of scripture out of book of Exodus chapter 3. I don't know if I told you that. I appreciate these young men being here. Brother Jeremy and these two young men on the front, and Brother Colton. You don't know what these guys mean to me. It's an honor for me to stand before them this morning, I tell you that. Exodus chapter number 3, if you stand, we'll just read one verse of scripture, and then we'll try to bring the message that's on the heart this morning. Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." You may be seated. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you this morning. And God, we're thankful for your mercy and for your grace. And God, we thank you for this day. God, thank you for that we can celebrate what you've done for our pastor. And Father God, I pray, God, you just help us this morning. God, as we open your word, feed us as only you're able to do, in Christ's holy name we do pray. Amen and amen. Before we get to this passage of scripture, we got to look what led up to this. And you know, we all know the story about Moses and the bulrush, how he was Pharaoh had commanded that all the males be put to death, and how that his mama put him in a little ark or basket, if you will, and put him in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, and she raised him as her own son. And Moses was raised up in the house of Pharaoh, but the Bible says that when he was grown, that something happened. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, in verse number 23, the Bible says, "And when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." I could preach right there this morning, I assure you, but I'm going to move on. "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." You see, Moses knew that one day all these treasures that was down here would pass away. But he also knew that one day, amen, up in heaven, God had prepared a place for him. And there was going to be riches forever and ever and ever. And the old Moses, he said, "Down here I could have anything I want. But I'm going to a land that's fairer than day." Amen. He said, "This right here don't mean nothing to me. These people that raised me, they're not my people, amen. I'm telling you what, there was something stirring up inside Moses." You know what happened one day? As he was going along there, he seen an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he looked around and he didn't see anybody, and he killed that Egyptian, and the Bible said he hit him in the sand. And then the next day he was out there and he seen two Hebrews fighting amongst themselves. And he tried to intervene, and they said, "What are you going to do? You going to kill us also?" And he knew then that the word was out. And so when Pharaoh heard about it, Pharaoh began to seek his life. And the Bible says that he ran to Midian and hid out there in the desert. While he was out there, some girls come up to water their daddy's flock. And some shepherds come up. And they kind of roughhouse the girls and kind of run them out of the way. And Moses stood up for them. And he watered the herd for them. And they got home early. And the daddy said, "What are you doing home so early?" And they began to tell him, said there was an Egyptian down there. And he stood up for us and he watered a flock. He said, "Well, where is he? How come you didn't bring him home?" He said, "Go get him." So they went and got him and they brought him back. And the Bible says that Moses, he liked them and he just decided to stay there with them. The man ended up giving one of his daughters to Moses to marry. And that's where we find our place today. Here the Bible says now Moses kept the flock. Moses kept the flock. He was a keeper of the flock. What does a keeper of the flock do? He gets the rocks out of their hooves. Woo! He puts salve in their cuts. Oh, sometimes he has to worm them. Oh, he takes care of the breeding program. If they ain't bred right, they won't have more babies. Somebody's got to take care of that, make sure that it took care of. He delivers the baby. Sometimes these mamas, they have trouble delivering the babies. This ain't helping you, but it's helping me. Hey, man, I deal with livestock, and I deal with dogs, and I've dealt with cows and hogs, and every once in a while, Brother Ron, when I had them hogs, every once in a while, a pig would get sideways in there or get backwards, and she wouldn't be able to have them. I called Brother Pat Tripp. I said, "Brother Pat, I got something bad going on. What I do?" He said, "Son, you got to take some Dawn dish detergent and put all over your arm." Hey, this might be gross to you, but I'll tell you, hey, you got to run up there and you got to get that pig and you got to pull it out. I'm talking about what does a keeper of the flock have to do? He got to take care of the flock. He's got to make sure that the flock has a clean and a dry place to sleep at night. You know, a cow can stand out there in the middle of a field and it pouring down rain and it don't bother them at all. They just keep on grazing. It don't bother them, but you take a goat. You take some sheep. Are you listening to me this morning? Hey, they got to have a clean and a dry place to stay at night. Hey, they can't stay out there in the rain and the wind and the cold. Hey, I tell you what, they'll kill overnight a healthy animal in just a day's time. I'll go from healthy to dead, amen, by the next morning. I'm talking about the keeper of the flock. He has to take care of all these things. He got to make sure. Hey, man, he got to keep the little ones separated from the adults. Hey, man, when my dogs have puppies, the other day, she had them unexpectedly, and I wasn't expecting it. I'm telling you, she, I bred her, I took her to the vet, and we done a progesterone test. And you have to go several times most of the time, and they tell you exactly when she's ready to breed by her progesterone level. And I took her. He said, "Okay, she'll be ready tomorrow." So I took her and had her bred. We done an AI, artificial insemination. It takes 9 weeks to have puppies. 3 weeks later, me and Josiah out there working. We've been mowing grass all day, mowing and weed eating. And I'm thinking about, I told Tracy, I said, she's so big. She looks like a pot-bellied pig. And I said, I was just going to go ahead and separate her from the other dog. She was in a pen with three other dogs. I was going to separate her that day. So I put my mower up and I'm walking across there and I hear something. Sounds like birds. Like, where are all these birds coming from? And I keep walking, I'm listening, and then I said, that sounds like puppies. And I turn around, she's dug a hole, and there's puppies everywhere. And Josiah, he had gone to get a wheelbarrow. I said, Josiah, put the wheelbarrow down. Come, no, don't grab the wheelbarrow. Come on. Just come on over here. I didn't know what to do. I called Tracy and told her, I said, we got dogs everywhere, puppies everywhere, come quickly. And she was pulling in the drive and she ran over there and got a basket and brought it to me and I'm just dumbfuzzled. I'm trying to figure out how did this happen. I went to my vet and I explained to him, and he's the one that bred her, and he's dumbfounded. And he don't know how it happened. And I looked it up I Googled it. Can a dog have a heat cycle while she's pregnant? Google said no. It's impossible. So how did it happen? I do not know. All I know is the puppies were going to be on sale at the end of January, now the week before Christmas. Can I get an amen right there? So she had them puppies. What I'm trying to tell you is she had them puppies in the middle of the pen with three other dogs. Now, if you know anything about dogs, I mean, they could have eaten those puppies. And so, you know, we gathered them up and I took her into the garage where we got a place set up for her, and I put her there. We got heat lamps for the puppies. We got a place that the puppies stay and that mama can get away from the puppies for a little while. It's away from the other adult dogs so that none of them step on them or hurt them. I'm talking about that's what the keeper of the flock does. Amen. He keeps the little ones separated from the adults. He makes sure that mama's doing everything she's supposed to do. Hey, sometimes these mamas, they don't know what to do. And you got to help them out. This mama here, she ain't got very much milk. And I'm having to milk the puppies just a little bit to keep them going, to give them strength. Amen. Hey, but you got to keep her on the flock. Got to watch. Hey, to make sure all this stuff is going on. It seems simple, said that he just kept the flock. Hey, that seems simple, but there's a lot more to it than just keeping the flock, amen. Hey, you got to make sure, that mama, she gets a certain kind of food. Hey, she gets vitamins, amen, that the other dogs don't need, amen. Hey, you got to watch out for that stuff. Hey, you got to make sure, that she gets, that all of them get good, clean water, amen. Hey, they got to have something to drink. But you know what else they need? They need some discipline. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hey, I let them out yesterday, and one of them, he didn't want to go back in the pen. I kind of done him like my mama used to do us. When she'd whip us, she talked to us while she whipped us. I mean, she'd be pouring it to us. I'm sorry, Mama. I know you're sorry. I won't do it no more. You don't go right. You ain't gonna do this no more. Amen. I mean, she's pouring the coal to it. I was talking to him. I was like, okay, you don't make me bring the wrath down. All right, you don't want to go in that pen? Oh, you gonna go in there today? And finally, when he figured out I wasn't going to give up, he ran in the pen. But darn it, he thought it was over then. No. I walked in the pen and locked the gate behind me. He went in the doghouse. I went, hey, this is a 130-pound dog, son. I'm telling you, that's a grown dog. I walked up there to him. I kind of checked his countenance, if you know what I mean. I grabbed him by the collar. I'm still checking his countenance, Brother Colton. He didn't bite it in, so I just snatched him on out. I had a stick with me, and I went to laying it to him. I said, you going to listen to me? You ain't going to run? You going to go back in that pen when I tell you to go back in there? A few minutes later, Josiah, he said something about, I seen you whip that dog. I said, how'd you see it? Because he was in the garage. He said, I was looking out the window. I said, boy, did you see how I done it? You want some? He's watching and learning. Amen. The Bible says that he led the flock. He kept the flock of his father, Jephro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock. Not only did he keep them, but he led them. He's the leader of the flock. Bible says here that he led them to the backside of the desert. I wonder what was drawing Moses to the back there. I wonder what was on his mind as he was going to the backside of the desert. I can see him maybe saying, if I get to the backside of the desert, there's the mountain of God back there. Maybe I can just get close to him. But there's a couple of things I find in order to be a leader that he had to do. He had to be the protector of the flock. He had to be the protector of the flock. First of all, those animals had to know that he would protect them. If you're going to be a leader, you got to be a protector. I was talking to Brother David Potter the other day, and he was telling me that he had went down, had to go down to the waterfront and talk to this other supervisor. And when we get another shop to do something, we have what we call a Green Hornet. Everybody that works at TRF is familiar with that. Had a Green Hornet and to give to the other supervisor, and when he gave it to him, he took it from him and just went to custom and carrying on, just showing out. And then as he began to read it, he said, oh yeah, we can do this. Come on. So when David got back to the shop, he told his supervisor what had happened. And that guy said, oh no, he ain't. He picked up that phone. He called him up. He said, you so-and-so? He said, yeah. He said, look here, I sent a man down there a while ago, and you cussed him and you talked ugly to him. He said, don't you ever do that. You got a problem with my man? You got a problem with something? I said, you come to me. Isn't that the way it should be? Hey, how many of y'all remember Edgar that used to work for me? One time I sent Edgar to a job, and there was a guy there, the owner of the house. He had had a transplant. I think it was a liver transplant. And it was somewhere around 10 to 11 o'clock in the morning. And Edgar calls me up and said, hey, Boss Man. That's what he called me, Boss Man. Don't forget that. He called me Boss Man. He said, this man got a problem with me. He's out here cussing me. I said, what? He said, oh, yeah. Boss Man, he called me some very nasty names. I said, you just hold on right there. I'll call you back in just a second. I called that guy up, and I said, hey, what's going on? Well, y'all out here? I said, uh-uh. I said, you hired us to do a job. We waited as long as we could. We got something else that we cannot put off this afternoon. But first and foremost, don't you ever talk to my guys like that. If you got a problem, you call me. Well, I said, no. I tell you what. My guys are leaving, and when you get your attitude right, you call me back. And I called Edgar. I said, come on. We're not putting up with this. Ain't nobody going to talk to you like that. Amen. You got to be. Amen. That's a leader. Amen. Amen. Not only is he a protector of the flock, but he's an affectioner of the shop, of the flock. See, my dogs, when I go out there, I talked good to him. I walk up to him. I say, hey, buddy, I love you. You're doing good. I pet him. Boy, you're a pretty boy. I just pet him and rub him all over. I just give him all the love. And then he'll listen to me. Now, if I go out there every day with a stick and just beat them and throw the stick at them, kick them and cuff them, and are they going to follow me? No. But because I love on them and I'm good to them and I tell them how pretty they are, what a good job they're doing. Amen. When they're barking, when they're growling at somebody, I say, hey, you doing good. Get them. When Josiah's over there, I say, bite him. Get him. Oh, yeah. Josiah, he'll get over there. There's a couple that do not like Josiah. Do not. And they'll just sit there like this here. Till he gets close to the fence. He jumps it every time. But a good leader has to do those things in order to get the flock to follow him. The Bible says here that it didn't say that he drove them. Said that he led them. And in order to lead somebody, you got to be out front. And they got to be willing to follow. If you love somebody, they'll follow you. If you're good to somebody, they'll follow you. The Bible says, hey, that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. Amen. It doesn't say because he's a hard taskmaster. Amen. But it's because he loves you and he's good to you. Moses kept the flock and he led the flock. Amen. Then I want us to look at Moses' turn. Verse number 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. You see here, while Moses out there in the desert, he's seen something he had never seen before. He's seen something you've never seen before. He's seen something I've never seen before. The Bible says that he's seen a bush burning, but it was not consumed. Hey, man. And he saw this bush, and it was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. There, at this point, he could do one or two things. He could either run, or he could turn. Now, yesterday, we was out there, Josiah was with me. I said, Josiah, come here. He knew by the sound of my voice that I wanted him in a hurry, but there was something else behind it. He said, what is it? I said, come here. He said, I see that snake. That snake, it was a black snake, and it had brought its head up like that, just over top of the grass. He could see it. And he was over there with a shovel. He come walking up to me, and he handed me the shovel like this. But it was cold yesterday. And so the snake wasn't moving very fast. And so I really wanted him to come up there so he could really see it. I said, and by that time Miss Tracy had come out. And next thing I know, Josiah's over there by Miss Tracy. Because he knows that I definitely ain't going to throw no snake at her. Like I told the boy yesterday, I'm crazy, but I ain't stupid. Okay? But I wanted him to see the snake why it couldn't hardly move and it was real slow to react and everything. But he didn't want to see it. So anyway, Miss Tracy said, kill it. I said, no, it's a black snake. You know, it's a good snake. And it's one of Brother Edward's favorite snakes. And so I just kind of brushed it out there in the woods. And he said, Edward who? not Dixon, amen. But at that point, you could either run or you could turn. Here's the problem. Most people run. I've told Josiah, I don't know how many times, if you think that one of these dogs are after you, do not run. Because these dogs are prey-driven. And if you run, it's over. A 120-pound dog, I don't care who you are, it'll knock you down. You're running, it's going to knock you down. If it thinks you're scared, if it's after you, it'll knock you down. Don't run. Stand there. It might bite you, but stand there. At least it won't eat you alive. That's right. You don't run from a big dog like that. Here he's on the backside of the desert. He's all alone. God, listen to me. Here, this is the main part I want you to hear. God had to put a burning bush in the life of Moses to get him to turn. What's he got to put in your life? What does God have to put in your life to get you to turn? Moses began, he turned. He said, I will see this. And the Bible says in verse number 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, then God called out to him. God never called to him until Moses turned. God's trying to speak to you, but first you got to turn. What has he got to put in your life to get you to turn? But when he turned, I want you to look at this. When he turned, the Bible says that God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Are you listening to me this morning? When Moses turned, he was already ready to answer to God. Amen. Hey, but the biggest thing was he had to turn. When he turned, he was ready. He was ready to hear what God had to say. Woo! He said, here am I. And he said, God said, draw not nigh hither. He said, don't come too close. Because when Moses turned and God began to talk to him, hey, Moses started coming to him. Hey, God said, hey, son, don't come too close. He said, but take off your shoes. Because the ground that you're already on. You're not too close to me right now. You're still out there, but the ground that you're already on. Are you listening to me this morning? You ain't got to get right up next to God, but anywhere close to God, it's already holy ground. He said, "Don't get too close, but take off your shoes because you already on holy ground." Jeremiah 20, verse number 9 said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost gets to drawing you, and you've already turned. He's called your name. Can't you tell? He's already put something out there to make you turn. Hey, you can't resist. It's in your bones. It's in you. Hey, every time you hear a song, every time you see a church, every time you hear somebody say amen, every time you hear somebody say have a blessed day, I'm telling you, something inside of you is a eating and a gnawing at you. Amen. Can't you realize that you cannot stay? Hey, you cannot stay on the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's read in verse number 4. Let's read in verse number 5. He says, it said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look upon God. Most of the time, when God said that, most of the time he said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. But this time, he said, I'm the God of your father. See, Moses was took from his mom and dad when he was at a young age. He probably found out who they were, maybe. I'm thinking that he might have remembered something about his mama, but his daddy was a slave. His daddy was a bondman. His daddy was working all the time. I wonder how much of a memory he had of his dad. Maybe he did find out who they were, but did he really know them? What a comfort it was when God told him. Maybe he always wondered about his dad. What kind of man he was. But God told him, said, I'm the God of your father. Wow! Maybe that don't do nothing for you. Hey, but it does nothing for this country boy. Right here, amen. I wasn't raised by my real daddy. But in 2000, I went out to Houston, Texas to see him. As I looked at him, as I watched him, I looked at his mannerisms. I took some pictures of me and him. I seen the way he walked. I said, well, now I know how come I walk like that. I seen the way he talked, the way he looked. I know it don't help you, but it helped me. But here, maybe there's some questions Moses had. And God was just answering them. He just filling in the dotted line, if you will. He's letting him know, look here, how's the God of your daddy? He listened to me. He followed me. Not only him, but you know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I'm your God as well. Now, he's fixing to get ready to tell Moses a bunch of stuff. He's getting ready to load Moses' wagon beyond mention. He's fixing to ask Moses to do something that only a few people, maybe Moses was the only one that could have done what he did. But this morning, Miss Darlene, you already done it. I'm fixing to do it. It's time. We kick off our shoes. I meant to tell you that the title of this message is, it's time to take off your shoes. I got mine tied in a double knot. They won't hardly come off. I won't do that again. But it's time to take off our shoes. When we come to this sanctuary, God's been doing something. He will do a whole lot more if we'll let Him. If we'll answer, if we'll turn to Him, amen. Does God got to do a miracle in your life? This is a miracle that He done in Moses' life just to get Moses to turn. What does He have to do in your life? Does He have to perform a miracle? Or can He just call you? Can He just tell you, hey, I need you to turn. Hey, I need you to do something different. Sometimes we got our life planned out. We think it's straight this way, Brother Neil. We never realize we might have to go to Hawaii. We never realize we might have to leave half our family in Georgia. But God's got a plan. Are you willing to listen to His plan? Are you willing to answer Him when He calls you? Miss Faith, if you would come to the piano. We got a good church. We got a great church. And just a couple of days ago, this church could have been devastated beyond measure. Devastated! Had it been, where would we be this morning? Wouldn't nobody have to beg you to come down these altars and beg God to help the church and to help my family, help your family? When's the last time that you got right with God? When's the last time that you come clean? Can I tell you, like a preacher said, I'm not talking about getting cleaner. I'm talking about getting clean. I'm talking about putting it all on the plate. I'm talking about telling God about all your sin, all those secret things, and get right with God. Can I tell you, Brother Rod, I need you. And I need you to be right with God to help me. Woo! But Darnell, I need you, and I need you to be right with God to help me and my family. And you need me. You need me to be right with God.
Amen.
To help your family.
Oh, yeah.
All you that's got teenagers, every one of you, I taught you kids. Was you praying for me? Was you asking God to keep Brother Gary clean? Well, you ask you, God, I pray you visit him. Help him, God. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Help him to walk in the Spirit. Because he's thinking golden. He's thinking that boy. He's thinking that boy. He's thinking that girl. Help him, God. He needs you. And I need to be doing you the same way. Let's all stand. There's something tragic that happened this weekend. Nobody had to beg you to come down this altar. I'm not going to beg you this morning. Won't you come? You know what?